Now for this week's Images of the Past, we look back at a very different month of March in state history. This time we look at 1881, when flooding had a major impact on towns like Vermilion and Yankton. With us for more is Crystal Nelson. She's with the Dakota Territorial Museum in Yankton. She's joining us via phone. Hi, Crystal.
Hello.
All right, we're going back to 1881, and I'm looking at some of the pictures online of this pretty epic disaster here. Look outside now. There's not a whole lot of ice on the ground or the river. What was March of 1881 like?
Well, actually, you know, you want to go back to 1881. I'm going to take you even further, because in order to understand what happened in March of 1881, you really have to understand the winter beforehand.
Okay.
Laura Ingalls Wilder talks about it in her book, The Long Winter. So if anybody's ever read that, they can kind of connect with the photographs and really kind of see the winter that she connected with. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have snowfalls that started in October of 1880. And the snowfall totals were significant, so much so that, you know, by midwinter, the train was having a hard time getting to Yankton. They had a hard time getting food. Fuel supply for the train to even operate was getting low. And then you have February 1881. You've had this long, cold, heavy snowfall kind of winter. And then in February 1881, they have one last major storm for the season. And so insult to injury, you know, one more shot, Mother Nature just downboard on them here in the area. And, of course, at that time, you know, if they remember that it wasn't, you know, we have Yankton and Vermilion. We also had communities across the river in Nebraska. So for Yankton, directly across, we kind of had our sister community called Green Island. It wasn't really an island at all. It was along the river bank, but on the Nebraska side. But, you know, still that was the name they had given it. And they were sitting a little bit lower than Yankton, most of Yankton was. So when I talk about kind of the things that had happened, that kind of plays a significant role in what happened here in March. Hmm. Okay, so we've got that last major storm. March came along, and upriver, it was much warmer than it was here in Yankton and downriver. So, of course, you have all the significant melting happening upriver, but we still have ice, and you start to get ice gorges and starting to float down the river. And they float down, and then they start to back up.
Hmm.
So, you know, a lot of people think that maybe this happened over a long period of time. It really didn't. We're talking a significant impact. We're talking about this flood basically happening in less than a week. It was here and gone, or starting to recede in less than a week. So if you will here, I'm going to just kind of give you a quick rundown of those 4 days
that
really had an impact. So you're looking at Sunday, March 27th. People are at church. Things are pretty normal. And then all of a sudden, they kind of hear a lot of rumbling, and the ice by Yankton finally gives way. And it starts to get pushed downriver, except everything downriver is still frozen. And so as all those ice chunks start to float down, they're damming up. By Monday, nobody in Yankton or Green Island have any idea that anything's coming, because it wasn't impacting them. They thought it was just a normal day, business as usual. But around the area of the Jim River, it was already starting to flood. They just didn't realize the significance of what was coming.
Sure.
So then you get Tuesday. Monday is quiet day. Tuesday, March 29th, they start to kind of, you know, people get comfortable with thinking, well, you know, maybe this won't end up being quite as bad as we thought. We had a little flooding, but nothing out of the ordinary. You know, things will be fine. Until about 5 p.m. on Tuesday, that same day. Then they had this dam formed a few miles downriver from Yankton, and there was just a wall of ice stretching all the way up to Springfield.
Wow.
And it's just back up of ice gorge after ice gorge. And for Green Island, you know, the citizens of Yankton tried to warn them of what they could see, what was coming, and they were sitting lower, and they were trying to kind of give them some signal, give them some warning. But they really had about 2 hours to vacate and get to higher ground.
Really?
So the Yankton citizens are sitting here on Tuesday, not only trying to save their own personal belongings, they were trying to get the people, they were more concerned about the people of Green Island because they really thought they were going to be the ones impacted, not Yankton. And so they kind of watched as they slowly watched this gorge encompass this whole little community. And then on Wednesday, this long dam that stretched all the way to Springfield started to move. And then the whole thing just started to go downriver, taking everything with it, including the entire town of Green Island. And that's where, again, little warning. I mean, people were going down towards their houses along the levee on the Yankton side even, and throwing their possessions out the upstairs window because the first floor is already starting to flood. People were even tossing their children out to the window to the people down in the boats down below because they just didn't have enough time to figure out what was going on and how fast it flooded. So the same thing happened, you know, of course, in Green Island. Little did everybody know in Yankton at the time was that the people in Green Island were rescued and taken to somewhat higher ground, but they didn't know that.
Right.
So they watched this gorge take away everything that was along the levee, everything in Green Island. They said some people that were eyewitnesses to it, and that's the great thing about this whole thing is you can really piece together between five or six eyewitness reports talking about everything that happened from moment to moment to moment. That they, you know, a lot of them said that you could hear the congregational church bell ringing as it floated down the river from Green Island.
Wow.
And there was one house left that was a little bit higher on the bluff on the Nebraska side. That's where everybody escaped to. They were on the first floor until that got flooded, and then they went to the second floor, and then they climbed out the window onto the roof until finally, after the 30th, it started to go down, and they could be rescued permanently.
I'm just going to sit and let everybody sink, let that sink in for everybody. Wow, I've got chills just thinking about this. Who are the eyewitnesses? Are these regular citizens of the town? Or,
yep.
And what kind of, you know, what do they leave behind? Journals, letters, newspaper reports?
Yeah, a lot of it is newspaper reports. You know, this became national news.
Yeah.
You know, there was one of the citizens actually was Hattie Seacombe. She was the minister's wife. Mm-hmm. And she had wrote a very detailed account all the way from Sunday morning church service until they were finally rescued from the roof of their friend's house, exactly how everything had happened and how there was just no time to grab anything. She said her husband was going to go back and grab a few things, and he didn't even have time to go back and grab anything. And so she did an amazing account, moment by moment, all the way down to what they did to try to keep the kids calm
right.
while the water was rising, not knowing if this house was going to get destroyed that they were taking, you know, refuge in. And then other people on the Yankton side, they would tell the newspaper what they recall seeing. Sioux City Journal and stuff like that, too, did articles. And so a lot of it just came from local citizens who wrote about it. And then, of course, you know, you hear little tidbits in personal diaries and stuff like that, too, and
right.
how people remember.
Are lives lost in this?
You know, amazing. You know, that was probably one of the few good things that came out of it. Less than a dozen people confirmed dead.
Wow.
Not to say, though, for the livestock. You know, after
right.
the waters receded rather quickly, there was so much livestock dead on the ground, and it got really warm the following mm-hmm. days.
Right.
So the water was gone, the ice is gone, now it's warm, and you have just decaying animals everywhere. So people are trying to recover from all of this destruction, and apparently the smell was just nauseating because they had to clean that part of it up too. So
right, and everything that they have worked for is gone.
Mm-hmm.
As well, right? All the houses, I mean, everything had to have been damaged and destroyed.
Right. Everything along the river was destroyed. You know, Vermilion was completely wiped off the map, and they rebuilt. Mm-hmm. Green Island kind of tried to rebuild with the community of Anton, and that, you know, kind of only went so far. For Yankton, you know, it was really interesting how Yankton responded. A lot of it was wooden structures up till that point and not a lot of permanence in the community. And then once you have that flood come through, you really start to see people taking advantage. And now everything is solid brick construction. and everybody is rebuilding, going, okay, you know, this river is nothing to take for granted. We need to make sure that we're prepared next time. So not only did they relocate all along the river, everybody is looking at, you know, is this the wise place for me to rebuild? And if I do rebuild, what am I going to rebuild with? There was a kiln production that was along the river near Yankton, and his kiln, the whole roof and everything, had caved in with the flood. And he took advantage of it, and he actually, instead of, before he rebuilt, he went back to Europe to figure out what was the latest in his particular field and got new information and new technology, and he brought that back before he rebuilt. So people took advantage of it.
Yeah, how did this this experience, and if you're just joining us, my guest is Crystal Nelson. We're talking about the flooding in 1881 and its impact on towns such as Yankton. And Crystal, I'm wondering how it sort of impacted the character of this town and this community in the years to come. Do you still see that moving forward after 1881?
Absolutely. You know, they even have newspaper accounts that are saved in our archives here at the museum from newspapers across the eastern United States, where they really highlight how strong and tenacious the people are here, because it didn't deter them from moving forward. They rebuilt, they moved forward, they picked up the pieces, and that the pioneer spirit was even stronger is what was suggested. And, you know, there was a lot of changes after the flood. It caused a lot of things. You know, governor, at the time we had Governor Ordway. And, you know, at the time it was, Yankton was the capital of Dakota Territory. So all of the government center was right here prior to that. And Governor Ordway, although it was great, he did appeal to get disaster relief funds to help us out, he took that forward, although he used it to his advantage to in order to get the capital finally moved in 1883.
Sure.
So, you know, some people took advantage of it, some people bounced back and never looked back.
Crystal Nelson, thanks so much for your time. What a compelling story. We appreciate you sharing it with us.
Thank you.